Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to the Bob and Ray Show with Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding.
By the way, we're transcribed.
Well, now that we have all the news bulletins out of the way, let's get into the meat of the program, shall we?
Yes, I think that would be a very good idea. You have the knife and fork there?
Oh, Bob, honestly, you get out some very...
No, I don't.
You're just the one.
Right. Well, friends, today, we're happy to announce that on our next broadcast, it won't be today's, but the next one, we're opening the fall semester of the Bob and Ray School of Radio Announcing.
Yes, be a radio announcer. Many of you young men have shown an interest in this highly profitable and interesting profession. And inasmuch as radio today is suffering an acute shortage of specialized talent, that is, radio announcers who can sing, announcers who can double as auctioneers, announcers who can be disc jockeys, we feel it's only our duty here on the show to give a few pointers.
Now, the instructor we've engaged for this unusual radio undertaking is Harry von Smerd, who's had a great deal of experience both in the radio announcing field and later, vest making.
Now listen to what some of our more illustrious graduates of the Bob and Ray School of Radio Announcers are doing right now. Go right ahead.
Gary Gerter, class of 48, is musical director of the American Town Meeting Show.
Vern Gregory, class of 47, moderator of your hit tune parade.
Then there's Elsie Yarb, one of our early graduates, who's now arranger and director of all dance band music heard on the Mother Perkins program.
You've heard of Herb Hardwood, Bob and Ray Announcing School, class of 46? Well, we just heard from Herb. He's now supervisor of all the hours off the air on station KPU, Frozen Custardia, Alaska.
Yes, there's a career for you in radio with help from Bob and Ray.
And on the other hand, if you can help Bob and Ray in some way, won't you let us know?
And Miss Magoon, of course, we'll be asking you to take care of the home economics department of that particular school.
Well, I don't suppose I'd be a competent instructor, actually, boys, because I don't have my own program.
Well, you have your own experimental kitchen.
I was thinking of enlisting in your school.
Well,
getting a few pointers.
We don't have a placement service.
Although I do know quite a bit about radio and microphone technique.
Yes, I know.
And how to get the most of a voice and so forth.
Well, we've noticed that. And
yeah,
I think your
surely.
Little contributions to our program, your tidbits from the kitchen,
surely.
Your little culinary ideas have gone over very well.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
What? Indeed I do, Bob, and I think that I would like to enroll in your school as soon as possible.
Well, all right, we'll make it co-educational.
Fine. I don't mean, how much does it cost? Anything at all?
How much do you have?
Well, I don't want it now. You're just going to take my money from me. How much does it cost?
No, we weren't. Well, we haven't set a figure yet. It'll be quite a liquid figure.
It will be nominal, Mary.
Oh, all right. I'll read your booklets about it.
All right. We'll send you the catalog. In the meantime, let's present another Kirkpatrick Brothers travelogue, A Visit to Island 999. This is Francois Kirkpatrick.
This is Melvin Kirkpatrick. The state of New York, the Empire State, is the home of the Thousand Islands. The Thousand Islands, their shores washed by the deep blue waters of Alexandria Bay, and their hills and valleys kissed by the rays of the sun as it sinks in the west.
And it is to Island 999 of the Thousand Islands that our little motorboat takes us today.
And as we drift aimlessly on the deep blue waters of Alexandria Bay, we think wistfully of motorboats which never break down.
And then we think wistfully of motorboats which break down and then are repaired.
And so we continue our trip to Island 999 of the Thousand Islands. And as we pass, a lone fisherman dressed in the colorful costume of the Thousand Islands, a pair of pants and a shirt, we greet him.
Hello.
Hi there.
And so, having established a new friendship, we continue on our way to Island 999 of the Thousand Islands. The grizzled old boatman, Kismet, charts our progress.
992, 993, 994, 995, 996, 997. No, that's a garbage scow. 997. 998.
Now we arrive at Island 999. Oops, miscalculated.
And here we are on Island 999. A kindly old native steps forward to inquire about the political situation.
Teddy Roosevelt still president?
And then we board a sightseeing bus to tour the island.
This is a Kirkpatrick Brothers travelogue. Movies are better than ever.
On the left, we see the ruins of the old city hall destroyed by fire in 1898. On the right, we see the ruins of the public library destroyed by bookworms in 1904. On the left, we see... In the middle, we see the ruins of a 1906 packet destroyed by old age in 1951.
And so we continue our tour of Island 999 of the Thousand Islands. As we climb the hill which leads to Lover's Leap, a grizzled old native joins us. After a few hundred yards, he says... We laugh and continue our ascent to Lover's Leap, where, according to legend, an Indian brave and an Indian princess, forbidden to marry by the princess's father, joined hands and jumped off a cliff into the waters below.
And as we pause, we think back in fancy to that historic day.
So we continue our tour of Island 999, and as we turn the corner of a picturesque country lane, a grizzled old native sidles up to us and says,
"This is a Kirkpatrick Brothers travelogue. Movies are better than ever."
It is autumn in the Thousand Islands, and Island 999 is overgrown with oak trees. From an ancient oak tree on our right, the brown, yellow, and red oak leaves are falling one by one.
And over to our left, from an ancient elm tree, the leaves are falling two by two.
And finally, as the autumn foliage comes to a glorious climax, the oak tree itself falls. So, with one member of our party deciding to remain behind, we leave Island 999 of the Thousand Islands and return to the mainland by more conventional methods.
And as the setting sun casts its radiance over the glorious autumn foliage of the island below us, the grizzled old pilot turns to us and says,
"This is a Kirkpatrick Brothers travelogue."
Ah, but now it's music time, and Paul, we've had you busy during our travelogue.
Yes, we have Paul Taubman and the trio, which were destroyed by Bob and Ray back in 1906.
What are they going to play for us, Bob?
Undecided today.
Well, they better make up their mind pretty soon, because it's time for them to go ahead. So exciting.
Undecided.
Thanks, fellas. Nicely done.
That isn't a criticism. Was the title of that.
If they'd like a picture of this trio, they can certainly have it, all you listeners. Just address your request to Horrible, NBC, New York, and we'll try to get them out to you.
We're a little bit tired today. We've been so busy the past few days down Ray's cellar, making our favors and decorations for the big Halloween party that we're going to have.
That's right, and we'll be explaining that on future broadcasts. And also, we've been making inexpensive or cheap Christmas gifts for our friends down cellar.
That we'll take up at a future date. It's not too early to be thinking about Christmas. Be thinking about the little things that you can make down your very own cellar to be given to your friends or loved ones.
What is it, about 53 shopping days left?
That's about right, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. I know you gave me an ashtray made out of an old transcription last
year.
That's
right. Well, that's just one way that anybody who happens to be in radio can take advantage of their business.
You took off all the music
wax,
part.
That's right.
You gave it was nice, although I don't smoke much.
Uh-huh. Well, it's good if company drops in.
Yes, well, I've used it for that and for holding the needles.
Knitting needles, huh?
Yes, surely.
Today, we went out a little bit earlier with our tape recorder and continued our series of public service features with a very interesting interview with another member of our city government, so to speak. So shall we play that and see?
Play it on now, sure.
Today, we bring you another on-the-street interview with the man who keep our city clean.
We are at this moment, friends, in the driver's seat of one of our city's efficient street sweepers, a large piece of motorized equipment with huge brushes which sweep the streets clean.
Now, beside us is William Fernitney, the operator, who is popularly known in the sanitation department as Bill. Right, Bill?
Yeah.
Well, Bill, as I understand it, the huge brushes on this street cleaning machine sweep the dirt off the street into the gutters. Is that correct?
Huh?
As I understand it, the huge brushes on this street cleaning equipment sweep the dirt off the street and into the gutter. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, what happens to the dirt after it's swept into the gutter?
It stays there.
Well, Bill, after it stays there, what happens to it?
It gets lost.
Well, thank you, William Bill Fernitney. And now we're going to have a demonstration of just how this magnificent piece of street sweeper's equipment works. You ready, Bill?
Huh?
We're about to have a demonstration of just how this magnificent piece of street sweeping equipment works.
Yeah?
Now, Bill Fernitney, operator of street sweeper number 4, starts his machine, and we proceed down Main Street. And there, fellow citizens, you have a demonstration of just how your efficient sanitation department keeps the streets of our city clean.
Listen in tomorrow to another broadcast about the workings of our various city departments.
This has been a Bob and Ray public service feature. We've had oodles of mail about our 19-mule team covered wagon goodwill tour, which left Cohasset, Massachusetts some days ago on a trip to the West. And I wish we could answer some of them today, but time being what it is, we can't.
Well, we do have one or two letters that possibly we could open. Here's one here from an Adelaide Sturley who writes from Little Rock, Arkansas. She says, when can I expect the mule train here?
Well, thank you for those kind words about the Bob and Ray show, Mrs. Sturley, and we'll be answering your mail on our next program.
Come on, Bob. I guess we're going to pack up our suitcase and get going now, shall
right.
we?
You have the bridge building manual there. We'll need that this afternoon.
I have it right here, Chief.
Okay, Mary, you coming with us?
Yes, I'll be right along, boys.
All right. We'll see everybody next time on the Bob and Ray Show. Bob Elliott.
Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get worried.
And hang by your thumb.
Silly transcribed noise.
We're here every day, Monday through Friday, with Bob and Ray. So until next time, so long from Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding. Bob and Ray came to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.